Parables of God's Just Kingdom. Matthew 13, verses 24 through 33. This particular passage of scripture is well known in terms of content, in terms of meaning. People have applied it in many ways, and many of them wrong. But many of them rightfully so. And it should be that way. Every time we teach on parables, I'm always reminded of Sister Kendall, who is a master at interpreting object lessons and sharing with you the nuances of the object lessons. But the master teacher of all teachers was Jesus himself. And many times he used parables or things of a common earthly nature or essence that had a spiritual implication. And parables literally means to compare, to come alongside of. In other words, Jesus used this method of teaching teach a great lesson by using things that were readily knowable and available to his audience. In this particular passage, and it's under the unit of justice, we must remember God got this. Why do the wicked keep on prospering? God got this. Why do good people turn back? God got this. Why is my life interrupted now at this juncture? God's got this. And he does so, and Jesus shows us that by his illustrations, this teaching of parables this morning. He was saying, literally, if you don't get anything out of the lesson, just remember, the lesson is about let God deal with justice. You know, you think you can't get justice in this life now. You think it's just us. God's got all. He is perfectly just. And he knows what to do. But a lot of times, our remedies for injustice will do more harm to us than good. We see that in the lesson today. What the lesson also shows is that many people are there. Many people are here. But many people are not here. They are here, but they are not here. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't see where I'm going this morning. Y'all think I'm totally distracted. But I'm singularly focused on this thing because I see that God is telling each and every one of us that let me worry about justice. But more importantly, let me deal with people. Don't you try to extract justice out of people. You won't find it. What you may find is you the problem. Let's see. Oh, y'all, what? All right. Come with me, Steve. In verse chapter 13, verse 24. Let us read. Is likened. Now, many have interpreted this to be the word of God, sowing, because normally that's whenever we see that, that's what we think of. And the field as literally soil. What in this particular passage, Jesus is talking about Christians, good people. In other words, the owner of the field put good people in the field. Only the owner did that. See, it's his field. He knows the soil. He knows the field. He knows the people that are in the field. But there's an interesting thing that happens, because everything is lovely. If everything is good, we shouldn't have any problems. We don't have no problem. We don't have no sickness, no illnesses, no. If everything is good, if everybody is good, all situations are good, we're in good shape. The second verse, please. Now, I want to show you something. The owner of the field, a man, sowed in the field. But now, verse 25 comes and says, and while men slept. Now, let me back up, because I didn't tell you who the owner is. The owner is Jesus himself. The owner, God, Jesus, the Godhead, himself. But while men slept, the last time I checked, God does not sleep nor slumber. So the men who were to be tending to the field, who were to be watching over the field, you know what they were doing, Nick? They were sleeping. Because they were simply sleep at the wheel. Supposed to be driving. Supposed to be watching. But they sleeping. What Jesus says is that the thing that gets me is that where you've got the owner who has put good people there. And if good people are there, good people are in charge, Amanda. But good people are sleeping. We're talking about Christendom here. We're talking about good people who're supposed to be discharging their duties, but yet they slept. And the commentary says, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Man, how can you mess up a good thing? You know, when y'all was out there in the world, it's like putting grapefruit in a perfectly good shot of Gordon's gin. Well, how you don't mess something up like that? How you don't add milk to Cavassier? Johnny Walker Black. How you gonna do that? You mess it up. But the enemy, it says, it wasn't somebody who was trying to do you any good. It was the enemy that came and sowed weed amongst the wheat. But the weed is so significant here because it looks just like wheat. In every way. In other words, it's counterfeit. But didn't Jesus just get through saying that the kingdom, churchdom, Christendom is just like this? You got good folk and you got weed. And he says, the farmer, the owner, the creator, sowed the good people. But the devil sent his
cohorts in there with them. Because the enemy here is the evil, the devil himself. While men were sleeping, while we were going on, having annual days, having Sunday school just as usual, you know, caring for the sick, you know, playing hoop to hoop at their church picnic, eating baked chicken, not eating sausage because all the other deacons and ate it all up. And, you know, but while we were doing all of that, the enemy came in. Gary, I'm telling you, the scriptures here says that the enemy came in and put some bad folk. So every time you got a whole bunch of church folk gathered, does not necessarily mean that they're all church folk. That there's some folk that have been planted there. There's some folk that are in your church because the devil has sent them there. And the devil's mission, Pastor Brown already told you, is to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Weed will mess up a good wheat field. But I got a problem here. You know, Texas homeowner. You know, it's, Texas homeowner is just a high-paid yard man. You know, you got to get out there. You see the weed, and you take the weed up. But if you keep on messing with that lawn, trying to kill them weeds the wrong way, you'll tear up your whole lawn, Doc. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. And I got word on my side. But a lot of that grass, a lot of that weed looks just like your grass. You can't tell the difference. But it is deadly to your lawn. Watch this. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So it says these folk are planted, Nick, and you don't even recognize them. They look like good church folk. They come in, you know, hallelujah expressions. You know, they got the prayer language down. You know, they can talk the talk, you know. And they seem like they're such good people. But stay there for a while. Guys, you know, sometimes when people are talking before class, and I told them, you know, you go through seasons where you question, Lord, why am I doing all of this? I see something. It's just not right here. But, I feel not capable of doing anything about it. And he says, just what he says here, what he's about to say in a few minutes here. Leave it alone. I got this. Because you don't know the difference. If you go try to reject what's good and bad, if you try to be the church A inspector, you reject some very good along with some bad. And you'll keep some bad along with your very good. And so you haven't accomplished anything. You still got good and bad. In this life, it's going to be some good and bad. And it's because God has a common enemy, the devil. Devil don't want you. Look, he don't care nothing about you assembling, but he would prefer that you didn't. And so since you're going to go on and assemble anyway, do you think he's not going to try and disrupt that? He heard Jesus too when Jesus says, you know, this is how they will know that you are my disciple, how you show love for one another. You don't think he's going to try and get there and show discord? He's just going to send you somebody you can't love? Hey, have you ever met anybody you just couldn't love? Hold it while back up now. Back up, back up, back up. Better be careful, because you might be one of them people. But the devil sold him. And it was sleep. But the thing that bothers me, Merce, is that we were sleeping. We were supposed to be guarding the church. We were who were here to protect the church, to build its ministries, to ensure its doctrine, we were asleep. Because the devil always does things in the dark. In deception, without knowledge, close the door. And Teddy ain't in the room, but close the door. Pull down the shades. Let's do this thing in the dark. Let's conceal the world, because that's how Satan operates. But in that room, if there's two people and you're in darkness, one of y'all may be wrong. One of y'all may be wrong. While you were sleeping, while you were going on doing your own thing, the Harold Melvin. It's not Teddy Pendergrass, but they thought Harold Melvin was Teddy Pendergrass. That's why they broke up. They sang a song, "Wake Up." No more sleeping in bed. And that song pointed out that there are many people that are going through life and they're asleep. And they think life is going on. And then, when they wake up and realize something, they realize they have attracted a lot more people and personalities in their lives than they bargained for. They have put a lot of more stuff into their life that never was intended to be there. And they have questions. You know, it's like one of them bad nights. 50 years ago, 1968 was a very tumultuous year. Matter of fact, they had a special on television this last week. Tough, I know it. I realized it well. I was at the epitome of it. Them devils out there. Think you know everything. Think you got this. Think that you're being denied. And justice delayed is justice denied. And I want mine right now. And I ain't taking this no more. But God got this. He had it then. And he's got it now. Your enemy put those people there. You didn't bring them in there. He just put blinders over you and made you go there whispering good nothing so that when you wake up in the morning, you have to ask the question, how did you get here? Whoa! When that night really was a hard day's night because it was conceived in darkness. And while you were sleeping and you thought you were awake, you thought, oh man, I got it going on now. I'm smooth, I'm suave, I got the words. I can hook this thing up just the way I want it. But the morning's coming. And you found that in your pretty little lily garden, you got some weeds. Y'all don't hear me. While you were sleeping, why you were not being diligent, while you didn't do due diligence, while everything was in a hurry, you got to do it right now. You made some of the most critical mistakes of your life, and now you're living with the weeds. Verse 27 says exactly how y'all act when that happens. So see, I told y'all, how did these weeds get here? I thought you only put good people here. I thought you only had good people in my ministry. But sir, didn't you put them in the ministry? He says, yeah. He's going to answer, yeah, I put the good people in there to include you. But guess what? You asleep at the wheel. And the devil came in, and there's some hellions now in your ministry. And you're standing here asking me, didn't you put them in there? See, See, we blame God. Lord, why you let these people do this? Why did we let these people do this? You were the one asleep. But notice, God was wide awake. He saw him coming. And he saw you not use spiritual discernment as people came, infiltrated you, changed your life, changed your situation. And now you're saying, how did these weeds get here? But the thing that the owner, that Jesus answers, just totally blows me away, because it is contrary to all the ways that we think. Y'all don't hear me, do you? Verse 28. First of all, let me tell you, don't you put this on me. The enemy, the devil. See, we got to call it what it is, folks. You're up here messing around thinking, oh yeah, well, you know, some people are just like that. No, the devil. These folk are evil. You got to call it what it is. They don't care for you. They don't like your lifestyle. They want to change your life. And they're going to find out something. First of all, God knows where they came from. And he's asking you and I to use the same spiritual discernment to identify them. Notice, if you keep reading, he says, identify them. But he ain't asked you to do nothing about them. Matter of fact, he's going to tell you something that is totally contrary to your nature. Because he says, what now?
The servant said unto him, what about him that the Lord gathered them up?
The servant said unto him, will thou then, what? That we? Hey, God, can we help you get rid of this? The scripture is clear, bud. This war is not ours. It's the Lord's. The enemy, the devil, done this. And when the devil does that sort of thing, he's not aiming at you. You're just a good instrument. You're just a good target. He's aiming straight at God. He don't like him. He don't care for him. So he's sown these counterfeit Christians in Christendom, in the kingdom of God, right in the heart of God. He's put these false prophets, false preachers, right in the middle of false pew members, right in the middle. False ministry leaders, right in the middle of your ministry. Talking about, we're going to make you better. Because anybody who has sown a seed and produced one thing, expecting one thing, and they get something that is two things, they're saying, man, I'm going to have a good harvest. Not if one of them bad. Not if one of them counterfeit. You're up here counting weeds in a wheat field. You can't eat weed. You can't eat it. It ain't good for you. Matter of fact, it's poisonous for your system. Y'all better help me, because it's right here. He said, you want us to go? We'll do it. I can see them now. They probably look like a bunch of deacons, a couple of tricky trustees. They don't help God out. We'll get rid of them. You know, leave, hey, boss, we'll take care of them. But here's what Jesus said. What?
What he said.
Nah. Oh, I like that. Nah. Don't need your help. No, don't need your help. No, I don't need it. What?
Let the wild gather up the tares. You root up also the wheat with them.
Don't you realize you don't even know what you're looking at? He says, because you'll go there and try to take these tares out. And what you'll do is, what you don't know is that the root of the tare and the wheat, they share the same root system. They come up out of the same, they intertwine. So if you're going up there pulling up, think you're pulling up weeds, you don't pull up the root of the wheat and you ain't going to have nothing. You'll destroy a ministry trying to get rid of bad people. Y'all listen to me. When you don't deal when you don't deal with this thing prayerfully, if you don't let the one who owns the ministry, I got something. Do we have any leaders of ministry in here at this time? Raise your hand, please. Let me tell you something. You don't own no ministry. This is God's ministry. Oh, the rest of you that were scared to put your hand up, I know there's a lot more of y'all in here. You don't own no ministry. You don't own nothing, T. The earth is the Lord's. The God, this is God's church.
Amen.
Ain't no one man, no one woman own anything in this church.
Amen.
This is God's church. But what God says is, I ain't going to let you tear up my church out there trying to put out the bad folk. We'll get them. Let's go get them right now. Hey, give me two deacons and security. We'll take care of them. What you going to do? Jesus says, nah, leave them alone. Because you'll go up there and disrupt because you don't know what you're looking at. Let me tell you something, how deep this is. When I looked at this wheat and tear thing, this tear is legitimate. You know, I say it's weed and it's not like a common weed. It looks just like the weed. I mean, just like the wheat. In infancy, immaturity, early stages, you can't tell the difference. But what Jesus is about to prescribe makes all the sense. And I'll tell you that after I tell you what he's prescribed. Let's read it. You know what's interesting, Mercer? I've been telling my wife that all these years. Leave that grass alone. I ain't gonna pull no weeds up there now. Yeah, leave it alone. I knew I had some Bible on my side. Leave it alone, because in maturity, you can't tell them. Well, I'm trying to think, well, why? If they suspect it, yeah, they suspect it. And the reason why, it's because there had been some growth already. Let me show you something. When wheat grows, it grows up, and at a certain point, it tilts, it bows. When the tear grows, that looks just like it, when it's mature and the wheat is mature, it grows straight up. The wheat bows. The tear stands straight up. Y'all better hear me. Oh, you know, all those folk who just holier than thou, but yet they're not submitted to God. They won't bow to nobody. Wheat bows. Wheat rolls, deacon. We don't stand on the helm, but tares do. Tares go straight up. And so but it's only after they are mature. See, because that's how people want to take over. When they mature, they're from the first day, they don't want to take over. They want to get to know you. They want to mingle with you. But then when they get mature, they are distinguished because they can't hide no more. Because a real saint bows. A real saint submits. The tear is prideful. Not submitting to anyone. Not submitting to any authority. Counterfeit, counterfeit, counterfeit. You got them then. You got them then. And that's when Jesus says, now you go there. And you carefully extract the wheat from the tear. You bundle up those tares, go, they going into a lake of fire. You know why? They weren't real. They ain't never accepted Jesus Christ. They never cared nothing about your church. All they wanted, hey, a little name recognition, you know, you call my name, they can do a couple of things, you know, so the men can pat them on the back and all that sort of thing. They didn't care nothing about the kingdom. But he says, there's a day coming when they will be judged. And he, but you notice there's a bundling of everything. That's symbolic of all of us will be judged. But one at the Bema Seat for reward, those who are in Christ, who love Christ. The others will be at the great white throne and cast into a lake of fire. I see Jean-Louis, I mean, yes, okay, yeah, you got it. Did well. See? Don't you worry about it. God's got this. Because God is not going to let anything happen to his children. He's not going to let wheat be destroyed because you want to be a rambunctious fool and go out there tearing up everything. Disorder. I'll get them right now. I'll go to the pastor right now and I'll name them one by one. God said, don't you name nobody. Don't you point out nobody. You want to self-report? You go ahead. But he don't even want you to do that. Because self-reporting would be elimination of a tear. And God is saying, look here. The tear will never make wheat a tear. Y'all better help me. He won't do it. So that's what you're worried about. And people are so scared. They want to keep other folk out because that tells me, hey, you're not securing your salvation. How secure are you when you want to keep others out and you want to be the judge when only God knows the heart? Only God in immaturity can tell you what wheat and tares are. And he says, well, when the time is right, in the fullness of time, we're going to separate this wheat and the tear. But it'll be upon my instructions. It'll be upon God's leading. You know, put nobody out that ministry. You know, put nobody out of this church. Because you done died and became God. Because only God knows that. But in verse 31, it says what?
Another parable will be poured unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into the field.
He says, a further illustration, something they would know, mustard seed. Little old mustard seed. And everybody gets it. Oh, yeah. See, everybody got it down now that the mustard seed is very small. Right, Jean-Louis, who was there? Where's my other the basic doctrine folk? Small, isn't it? In this case, it has something to do with size. Oh. Because it says, not a mustard seed, but the grain of a mustard seed. Do you realize how small a mustard seed is? You can't even see it. Y'all see it? Y'all see it? Right here I got it. Y'all see it? Yeah, see it? But it says, the grain of a mustard seed is when you take that seed and shuck it, buzz, and make it even smaller. And it says, all you need is a grain of mustard seed, even smaller. The smallest perceptible seed that they knew at that time. Yes, there are smaller seeds now, but them people didn't know nothing about it. The smallest seed they knew were mustard. And mustard, well, you can't live off of mustard. It's a condiment. But it says, take that, the kingdom. Now the kingdom is like a mustard seed, a grain of mustard seed. Jesus the Christ, who is homo rusha compadre and homo rusha padre, very God and very man, all at the same time, came down here as a man. Little old man on a big earth. He didn't have to come in full disclosure as a man. He just came as 100% man. He was human in every way. But here, listen to this. From that little old grain, we now have the Resurrection Baptist Church. Y'all better hear me. from that. Because you take and plant that mustard seed, and it grows up to be one of the biggest bushes you ever wanted to see. Basic Doctrine, we have a picture of it. He goes anywhere from 8 to 12 feet, from one story to a two-story house. Huge in a grain. So much so that the birds can come and perch on its branches. Now, a lot of people have talked about, you know, these are the various denominations of Baptists and all of that. But no, when you're growing ministry, folk, well, let's just take Resurrection. When you're growing ministry, when we were, Robert, when we were those 83 people before I got here, 119 that right after I got here, nobody was showing up for y'all. Sandy, was nobody breaking down y'all doors trying to get in here? But the bigger you grow, the more birds can be housed in your branches. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't like that. Y'all don't want to hear me. Y'all don't hear me. And God says, yes, I made it that way. You will become expressively growth. What's so bad about the mustard seed grain? It multiplies quick. It grows very rapidly. Very rapidly. It turns into a tree. Arid climates, you know, it'll grow anywhere it's hot. It'll grow. And fast. And yeah, that's why Jesus could come and say, he that would thirst after me will never thirst again. I'll plant something in a dry desert and it'll grow very quickly. The kingdom of heaven is like that. It starts out small, but we are growing. And I would have been satisfied. I would have been ready to dismiss the class. Lolly, we'd have been gone. I'd have jumped on the back of Bud's motorcycle. We said, let's go have brunch. We're gone. But they had these other verses there. And that messed me up because he had another parable. Because he says, let's just read the rest of them and then we'll go. But verse 33. Notice that took this little grain, put it in the ground, it grew fast. Then she took this little bit of, we'll say yeast, okay? Leaven. Because normally when we talk about leaven, it's normal evil. But in this case, it's not. Says she takes a little bit of yeast, put it in about 40 liters of dough, and it makes bread for over 100 people. Little bit of yeast. So in other words, it grows. But what you do is you don't get it, mix it all together, and then you sit on it. It's a little ball, right? Right our side. You're my favorite hospitality person here. You know, little ball. And you just sit on the counter and it'll just, see, it's growing from the inside. The kingdom of heaven is like that. You'll see some rapid growth, but you'll also see some slow, intentional growth, transformational growth, because that's how the kingdom of heaven is like that. So he's saying, don't hurry this thing. Let it grow to its full potential. Don't try to weed the fields because you'll tear up something. Don't be so concerned about the mustard seed and how small it is. You know, we only got a small ministry. This class right here, when I started, 4 people. This church, when I came on staff, 119 folk, 4,000 plus now, 5,000 on a good counting Baptist day. But it's been slow, 20 some odd years. Slow, steady, grow. Fast at times, because we went from 119 to 323 in months. 323 to 620 in like less than a year, and from 620 to 1200 in about 19 months. God's got this thing. And then slowly, we've been growing, because the kingdom of heaven is like that. But don't you believe that just because your ministry is not growing as rapid as others, that it isn't growing intensely from the inside, where you don't see the outside growth, that this just ain't right.
It ain't fair. I spent all this time. I made all these charts. I cooked all this food.
Well, we never had a problem with that ministry. It's always been. Hey, guys. Justice. You want justice? Go to a just king. You want justice in the kingdom? Amen. Check with the king. Because he's sovereign in every way. And he says, heaven is going to be like wheat and tares. The kingdom of God, rather. The kingdom of God is like wheat and tares. The kingdom of God is like a fast-growing mustard seed. And the kingdom of God is like a slow piece of baking bread. He says it's like all of that. And it takes all of that. And it takes our understanding of that. It takes us fully alert and realizing the very stages of life that we're in this, in your ministry, in life itself, in your ministry, in your church life, that yeah, they're gonna be, everybody in here doesn't have your interest. You can be assured of that. I know. That's why people go home crying. But instead of crying, you ought to pray. Amen. Pray to the Lord that, first of all, that you will stay alert. Because to me, you identify the devil. But y'all ain't never heard of me putting nobody. Now, there's been a couple of them on my staff that I needed to have recommended, Iris. There's a couple of them that I needed to have recommended to Pastor Brown. Get rid of them. But the Lord said, they ain't nothing but weed. We'll smoke them later. Not you.